Lord, we thank you that you are God who speaks, that as we've heard, Lord, you're a God who is alive in the person of Jesus Christ, and you're with us today by the power of your Holy Spirit. So we do say and ask, Lord, speak to us today. Speak to us by your Spirit. Cause our eyes to see and whisper those things that you want to say to specifically to each person. For the benefit of the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Take your seats, please. Lovely to see you. This morning, we're continuing in our series, Alive in Christ, which is the value series of the church here. And this morning, we are looking at the growing family. And we're going to be looking at the book of Acts. And it's the second book written by Luke. The first book was obviously Luke's Gospel, which, you know, did okay. And that's where he wrote about all the things that Jesus began to teach and to do. And in this second book, the book of Acts, he's writing about all the things that Jesus continued to do through the work of his church and through his Holy Spirit. And what Jesus continued to do and what he is continuing to do this morning through the church and through the power of the Holy Spirit is to ensure that God's family is a family that's growing. Now, some of you might think that the growing family, I know what this is going to be about, and I'm not really interested. Because some people think and feel that it's not got very much to do with them, that there's other people who are gifted to be involved in that, and you may feel you're not particularly gifted to be involved in that. And I just want to say, relax. It's okay, because actually, God loves to do amazing things through unsuspecting, ordinary, everyday people. That's how God works in the world. The apostles that we're going to read about this morning were a group of very ordinary people that God used to change the world. You see, growing God's family and being part of God's family and seeing it grow is never about your ability. It's about your faith in God's ability to work powerfully through you to bring others to faith in Christ. And if you hear nothing else today, I would love you to just take that away and just know it's not about your ability, whether you're good at it or bad at it. It's about who you are as someone who has been filled with God's Holy Spirit. And it's about having faith that there's power goes into the world simply because God is working through you, even in ways you don't recognize. The passage begins this morning talking about Jesus. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. See, God had taken everyone by surprise, and he had shown how different his wisdom is to the wisdom of the world. The expectation among God's people was that the Messiah would be a conquering king who would come to liberate them from the oppression of Rome. But instead, God came in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He was born into obscurity, and he lived in poverty. But when he spoke and taught, he had astounding authority, God-given authority. Jesus had no earthly power as the world would perceive it, but he performed wonders and deeds of power like the world had never seen. And then he laid down his life and he died on a Roman cross to pay for the sins of the world. And people thought, well, that's over, that's it. But it wasn't the end, because God raised him from the dead 3 days later to show that sin had been paid for and to prove that eternal life was available and is available to anyone who will come and put their trust in Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord, no matter what background people come from. That's the gospel. And so Luke tells us about these 40 days after Jesus had been raised from the dead, where he met with his disciples and he spent time with them eating and drinking and talking to them about the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that? It must have been some time. There would have been praise and prayer, worship. They probably would have sung together, celebrated, told stories, ate food, hung out, talked to each other. And the disciples would have been left in no doubt that Jesus was physically alive. This was no apparition they were seeing or a ghost. Jesus was physically alive. He was eating and enjoying food. God loves celebration and feasting. But there was also another reason for those meetings. You see, maybe a bit like us this morning, the apostles didn't know that God's wisdom had chosen to carry on this mission of spreading the gospel of the kingdom of God through ordinary, everyday people and to grow his family on earth in that way. The passage says, on one occasion, while they were eating together, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still didn't get it. Even after meeting the resurrected Jesus, the apostles still expected their Messiah to restore the earthly kingdom to Israel. They needed to have their minds and their hearts changed by God. There's a story of a young man who was convinced of the truth of Christianity, but was gripped by an intense fear at the very thought of having to admit to anyone that he was a Christian. The idea of telling anybody about his newfound faith and being sort of labeled as one of those holy rollers just filled him with fear. And it appalled him, but for many weeks he tried to banish the thought of this religion from his mind, but it was no use. Over and over and over again, he just heard this whisper in his conscience saying, just follow me. At last, he could stand it no longer, and he went to a very old man in his community who had been a Christian for the best part of a century, and he told him about this nightmare, this terrible burden of witnessing to the light, and how it stopped him from becoming a Christian. And the old man just sighed and shook his head. He said to him, this is a matter between you and Christ. Why bring all these other people into it? You're just complicating things. The young man sort of nodded slowly. Go home, said the old man. Go into your room alone, forget your family and the world, and just make this thing a secret between you and God. The young man felt a weight coming off his shoulders as the old man spoke. He said, you mean I don't have to tell anybody about it? He said, no. Like no one at all. Not if you don't want to, said the old man. Are you sure? Asked the young man, beginning to kind of tremble with anticipation. Can that be right? The old man said, it's right for you. And so the young man went home and he knelt down in prayer and he was converted to Christ. And immediately he ran downstairs where his wife and his father and his three friends were sitting. And kind of with breathless excitement, he said, do you realize it's possible to be a Christian and tell absolutely nobody about it? When we experience the love of God in the midst of worship through an encounter with the Holy Spirit, God changes us. He takes away our fear, something that we would be unable to do ourselves, and he replaces it with excitement and energy and faith, and we begin to think less about what others think of us. For us today, in a world obsessed with platforms and image and influence, that can look like death. But in reality, it is the key to a life full of joy and of power. And it's part of how God changes us and remakes us and uses us to grow his family. The passage goes on. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But," and it's a big but, "you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." At the age of 22, which was a long time ago now, I was at a crossroads in my life and I was looking for a new career path. And I was just having a conversation one day, and the person I was talking to said, "Have you ever thought about becoming a stonemason?" And I had never thought about becoming a stonemason. But something about it just intrigued me. And so it was Friday afternoon. I went up to the house and, showing my age here, got out the yellow pages. And I looked up and found that there was actually a category in there for stonemasons. And I phoned the first company that I saw. And within a few minutes of having a conversation with that person who had answered the phone, I had a 2-week trial starting on Monday morning. And I hung up the phone. I was delighted and excited. And then I thought to myself, I know nothing about stonemasonry. How's this going to go? And so I thought, what can I do? And I remembered that there was a stone wall somewhere near where I lived. And I remembered it. And I said to my dad, "Let's go and have a look at this." And we get in the car and we drove to see this stone wall. And I just thought, I'll go and look at it and maybe that'll be a start, you know. And on the way there, it was as if I had a new set of eyes. Because I was seeing for the first time all of these stone walls that had been in our countryside my entire life, and I'd never noticed them because I wasn't looking for them. I'd missed them completely. The very same thing is true when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. In our sin-darkened minds, because of the fall, we don't see things clearly. We're hardwired to miss what God is doing around us every day. And I wonder, are you discouraged? Is there somebody here discouraged this morning, believing the lie that God never uses them, that he only uses other people? I want to say to you that maybe it's just like those stone walls. Maybe God's already using you as a believer in Jesus Christ with the infilled power of the Holy Spirit in ways that you don't even recognize. Jesus didn't say to the apostles, "You know, those of you who really get this thing will be my witnesses." He wasn't speaking in a hopeful way about what might happen in the future. He told the apostles, "You will be my witnesses." He was telling them about who they were going to become, who he was going to make them to be, which is much more than what they were going to do. If you're a believer today, God is already at work in the world in a good way through you. And he wants you to recognize that and to see it and to celebrate it and to be encouraged by it. And then he wants you to ask him for more. Here's just a few things that I began to see as I asked God to show me, what have you been doing here through your people? Through you. Back pain healed. Addiction overcome. Spiritually dead people given eternal life. Physical healing. A new mind given. Discouragement turned to encouragement. Fear turned to joy. A prisoner of debt released. A gift of wisdom given. Hungry people fed. Children beginning lives of faith in Jesus Christ. Lonely people finding their place in community. People hearing and responding to God's call. Courage rising up. A hunger for prayer. And the one that we miss all the time, the miracle of a community of imperfect people committed to forgiving and loving each other. God's doing so much here through you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he'll do more if you want him to. And all we have to do is ask. He won't force himself on us. We don't have to beg him either. He's not reluctant. If I'm honest with myself, I pray and I ask God for things all the time. But lots of times my prayers are just too small. Maybe you're a bit like me and you spend too much time saying to God, bless me, bless me. And what you need to pray more is, use me, use me. Nicky Gumbel, the pioneer of the Alpha Course, and just to say on that, there is an Alpha Course starting here on the 9th of October, and we would love you to join with it. And it's going to be in the welcome area every Wednesday night from 7:30, and you can sign up online or at the welcome point on your way out. And really there you can investigate the Christian faith, or if you're a Christian, you can find out how to go deeper and experience more of the Spirit's power. I really encourage you to set aside some time and be part of that if you haven't been recently. But Nicky Gumbel is the person who pioneered that Alpha Course, and he talks about this old gas boiler that he had in his house and how it had this pilot light all the time. And he says that it's like the believer filled by the Holy Spirit. Every believer who comes to Christ and puts their faith in him as their Savior and their Lord is given a deposit of the Holy Spirit, a guarantee of the eternal life that has been won for them by Jesus Christ. And it is like a pilot light that will never go out. But he says it's possible to be filled by the Holy Spirit, to hit the boost button and for the heat to come on and for all the cylinders to light and for there to be power and heat. And I wonder this morning, do you feel like maybe you've just been on the pilot light and you've never experienced the power? The good news is that growing God's family is not about your ability or your gifts. It's about your faith in God's power and his ability to use you in ways that will bring transformation to those around you. And I want to just suggest to you three ways that you can step into that and experience more of it. The first one is ask. Simple, just ask. Jesus talks about receiving the Holy Spirit in Luke 11, and he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and everyone who asks finds. When you're asking, set aside some time to ask God to forgive you of anything that might be a barrier to him working through you in power. We all have it, and it's great to be honest with God about it. Take your struggles to him and just ask him to forgive you, and ask him to give you the power to overcome it, and ask him to wash you clean and to cleanse you and to use you in power. That's the first one, ask. The second is believe. Have faith that God hears you and has the ability to change your desires and to empower you. If you have doubt, that's okay. God has seen it all before. Be honest with him and ask him to take it away and ask him to fill you with faith. And then go and do. At the end of the passage that we read, Jesus ascends into heaven, and this stage is set for the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And as he goes, the apostles are looking up into the sky when two angels come and stand beside them, and they say, men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking into the sky? It's as if they're saying, get on with it. John Stott says, there was something fundamentally wrong about gazing into the sky when they'd been commissioned to go to the ends of the earth. I was just convicted recently at an unlikely moment coming up to the toll booth on the way to Dublin, or the way back from Dublin. And I felt God prompting me to speak to the lady in the toll booth and just tell her that Jesus loves her. And I chickened out. And as I drove away from the toll booth, I thought to myself, you know, it doesn't matter how much I learn and what a no. If I don't allow the Holy Spirit to prompt me and to be obedient to the prompts and to have some faith about the fact that when I, in my weakness, try to say something like that, that he's going to use it for good, then it doesn't matter if I know every word in the Bible. It's not going to bring transformation. There's no point in me gazing up into the sky when I've been commissioned to go to the ends of the earth. So that's what I want to encourage you to do, is to ask and believe and to go and to do and to try that out this week. And to ask God to work through you and to begin to listen and respond to his prompting, which may come in the most unexpected ways, in the most unexpected places, at the most unexpected time. And if you're doing that already, well done. Keep it up and do more. Be courageous, be joyous, be filled with joy, and be full of faith. And don't get discouraged if it doesn't look like it's working out. God is in charge, and he is able to turn all things for good. We are always trying to put our earthly metrics on how things are going. Just give it up. God works in ways that we can never imagine. Have faith that he can use whatever it is that you do for his purposes. Two things I think are really useful are, be ready to say, would you mind if I prayed with you about that? Would you mind if I pray for you? And if the person looks horrified, you say, I'm going to do it at home. And if they look open to it, say, can we pray right now? And the other thing is, you can say, you know, Jesus was chatting to somebody one time about that. Read the Gospels and talk about what Jesus did. Growing God's family is never about your ability. Have faith. It's about your faith in the ability of God to use you in ways that are powerful. And be assured that you will receive power from the Holy Spirit that is already within you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And that you will be witnesses for him in your homes, in your workplaces, at the school gates, in this city, and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray.